Our next presentation is vibration monitoring of electric rope shovels, and Dan Nauer is Global Manager, Optimization and Machinery Health Management for Emerson Process Management. He has more than 25 years of machinery diagnostic experience, product design, and technical sales with multiple machinery health technologies. He has solved mining machinery health issues for more than 15 years now. Dan will explain how automated vibration monitoring of multiple systems on the shovel can determine the machine's condition at all times. This reduces unplanned downtime and keeps critical shovels in production. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Steve. Well, welcome. I know you all have plenty of choices here in this wonderful resort, so I really do appreciate you attending this morning. Safety share. This just came up this morning. One of my gentlemen was responding to a text from me, and he actually was responding evidently as he was walking downstairs. So I've gotten a text. He's doing fine. He's at the emergency room. Twisted an ankle. So no, we talk about texting while driving. Well, texting while walking, especially texting while you're going down steps or up steps, let's not do it. So a little about me. I've been in this industry 30 years ago today. I started working on mining area more than around 15 of those years. I manage the subject matter experts within Emerson for Machinery Health Management, and each one of our subject matter experts has vertical market expertise. Mine is in mining. So, famous humorist Will Rogers said, ask me to talk for a day, no problem. Ask me to talk for 30 minutes. Now, that's going to take preparation. So, here we go. Vibration monitoring of shovels. Now, shovels are huge monolithic excavators that are even getting bigger. So on Mine Expo, Caterpillar actually announced the largest rope shovel, capable of 120 tons per scoop. The next day, Joy Global, they introduced the next biggest shovel at 135 tons per scoop. So the challenge is, if those large shovels go down, you lose a huge production capability. Back up here. So let's talk a little bit about what machinery health is. I know the title of the shovel, the paper is vibration monitoring, but my vibration monitoring is just one of the technologies used to know the overall health of your machine. Vibration, we can. It's analogous, and it's just like doctors do to us in testing if we're sick. Vibration is very similar to the monitoring of the pulses of your heart. The oil itself, you know, if we want to run a panel, the doctor will do this to us, and the composition of what's in that oil will let those analysts know the condition of machines in another way. And also, what's the first thing that a doctor does, or usually the nurse? They take your temperature. So if you're a little bit over a normal temperature, let's take it to the next step. There must be some sickness here. It gives you the total picture. Now, how do we take those technologies and apply them to assets in the field? Those that are the most critical are at the top of the pyramid. As you come down the pyramid, they're less critical. Those at the top of the pyramid, we want to monitor the most often. And typically, that's an online real-time monitoring system that's used. There's many different systems out here, and learning to apply this correctly to a very difficult machine to monitor is the big challenge. Now, not only is it a technological challenge, but the mining pinch has been in existence for several years. Because of the global demands, you know, those hard metals, copper, gold, others, power is, you know, coal, because of those demands, there's no redundant assets in mines anymore. Everything has to operate at its maximum production. So that begins at the very beginning of the process, too. And the shovel is right there. The shovel is just after the blasting, and if a shovel goes down, you're losing your most critical asset. Now, shovels are very large, complex machines, and I'll show you a little video here in just a second, but they're full of gearboxes, complex gearboxes, planetary gearboxes, huge rolling element bearings. And they typically operate in a very tough 24/7, going all the time in a very tough environment. So unplanned downtime can really mess up the whole downstream process. So due to machine's flexibility, complexity, the machinery health technology that we have come to find is the gives us the most bang for the buck is vibration analysis. And Emerson has a patented technology called Peak View that even gives you an even more upfront view on the vibration side. It gives you a very early warning detection system for especially those large gearboxes and your rolling element bearings. Now, many, many shovels are not monitored. So, but even your more progressive companies, mines, are going to a portable way of monitoring it. We call it manual monitoring. I see this more and more often, but there's still the large far majority of shovels that they're not monitored at all. Now, they're very difficult to monitor. And this sorry to wake y'all up. This is just a little bit of an insight to what's the challenges to monitoring the shovel. In my 30 years of monitoring, I'm very, very comfortable with monitoring those steady state machines like pumps, motors, turbines, generators. That's really easy. But look at the struggles that we have here. Very, very cyclic. It's not even a repeatable cycles. And they're constantly unloaded and loaded. Unloaded and loaded. So that's our challenge to monitor these, period. Now, what a lot of those progressive minds that have moved to manual monitoring, they'll actually schedule this once a month, typically. And when that outage is scheduled, it's a 3 to 6 hour process of taking it out of the production and then getting the trained team out to the shovel and then firing up that shovel in a non-productive way so that we move the hoist up and down, hoist up and down. Okay, now let's do the swing. Let's do the swing. And let's do the crowd, in and out. Now, I'm not one to get traveling, motion sickness. The first time this ever happened to me, and I didn't go all the way, but it was real close, as well as on a shovel down in Chile, and they did this task, and I was on the shovel. Swing ran for 25 minutes. I was on that shovel. Whew, it was close. So, but what takes precedence when this outage is scheduled? Is it production or taking data? Well, we all know the answer to that, correct? It's production. So, frequently, you stage your trained technicians and, you got to come back to the mine tomorrow. We've got to blow and go. We've got to get production done. I waited 2 weeks to get on a shovel in Chile and doing research and R&D for this. Safety issues during the manual collection. I've just told you that I was on the shovel for just on the swing. Well, they're in the swing, the hoist, the crowd, and the shovel is moving during this time. The propel's not going, but the system is. There's a person on that shovel other than the operator that needs to walk around inside and take data. So that's a challenge. Safety is a huge consideration here. So the solution is to automatically monitor the shovel. Now, utilizing our system, it's an adaptive monitoring. And this, when I say adaptive monitoring, it's something that the system can adjust to the condition of the machine as it operates. Now, you saw the cycle times. For the swing, we need to have a cycle time of, the way we have it set up, we need 3.6 seconds in a loaded condition to take data. The hoist, we need very similar to the same. The crowd, we've got it set up to where we need 1.6 seconds. So it monitors the load and the speeds and the direction. It's in other words, to take data during normal operation. Now, what are the systems that we actually monitor? The hoist, the crowd, and the swing, and the propel is optional. Now, many of you know these systems probably better than a lot of the groups that I talk to. The hoist runs the ropes in and out. The crowd brings the dipper in and out. And, of course, the swing rotates the whole chassis, and then we have the propel. So, what are we monitoring on these shovels? I've already said this three or four times, but these are the crucial drive systems on the shovel itself. Now, we have a plan view here, and you can actually see we monitor the swing has multiple drives. Now, you can tell that from my pictures that I'm used to working on Joy Global shovels. So these are actually upswing here. We monitor the motors and the gearboxes, the planetary gearboxes. Now, the size of your the size of your shovel actually determines how many of these we are actually monitoring. We also will monitor the hoist itself. Motors, gearbox, hoist drum, and another bearing over here. We also monitor the crowd, which is not shown in this picture. It's actually out here. That is the most challenging of those systems. Now, I make it sound easy to do, and you have to show up on the shovel and plop it down, and you're good to go. Well, there are many challenges. It has taken us several years to get through many errors to get that. Nothing like on-the-job training, correct? So, system design. Now, I mentioned where to install the sensors. We use accelerometers, and where do you actually put them on the machine? Well, we've learned where those optimum places are. Installation time. Now, this is something that we thought, this is not a critical issue, but you all out there know very well that it's very hard to get on these shovels and take care of this quickly. So, we've designed the system so that we can have everything pre-wired as much as possible, including the system cabinet. I'll show you a picture of the inside of one of these in just a second. The sensors, junction boxes, and cabling. This is the largest challenge during installation because we want to do it on a typical PM, right? How long do those PMs last? I've been on them from anywhere from 4 hours to 8 hours, even 12 hours, because they were doing other maintenance activities. But if you went in and ran every cable one at a time, multiple PMs it takes to get this done. The cabinet acquisition, should be cabinet installation, and the data collection itself. And I'll show you a few pictures of what we've done to optimize the installation. We've actually gotten this to where we can get it done in a PM and a half to install sensors and commission it. Data collection is a huge challenge. I mentioned our PeakView technology. It gives us the earliest warning detection system out there. But not only do you have to set up the data collection correctly, you actually have to set up your what we call predicates, those formulas that you program into the system to say, okay, when it goes true, I'm going to snapshot and take data. And getting data out of the pit. Well, once we have the data on the shovel, it does us no good if we can't get it back to that analyst. So that's a challenge. And I'll talk a little bit about these. What components we're actually monitoring. Typical shovel will actually install a cabinet down here in the electrical area or control area below the operator's cab. And we'll monitor the hoist, like discussed earlier. This one actually shows two swing transmissions, and then the crowd components out at the end. Now, these are our typical, the most critical systems on the shovel. But we've also found out in working with customers that excuse me, that there are other items that if it goes down, the shovel's down too. And it's the cooling fans for these drive systems. Now, every other system that we've monitored and talked to this point is very cyclic. The good thing about the cooling fans, they run at one speed. So we can actually use a simpler technology that is the wireless technology that will have one gateway and will talk to the same system as the online system. So you're not adding additional systems. You're just monitoring lower criticality assets in a more economical manner. The actual cabinet itself, we actually will use up to 54 channels to monitor a shovel. This is one of our specialized cabinets. There are items in there that captures the input from not only vibration sensors, but also tachometers. These tachometers monitor the speeds of those primary systems that we've discussed. And it's not just the speed that's important. The direction is important, too, because we found that one side of the gear meshing will generate different levels than the other side of the gear meshing. Optimizing times. We've pre-wired those cabinets, as I said, with wiring harnesses, cable assemblies, and then it's just plug and play. You've run all the sensors, and the harnesses will come in, and we can actually plug into the bottom of these cabinets, minimizing that installation time, that field installation time. Now, to this point, I've talked about our goal is to actually take data during normal operation. Excuse me. But our goal also is to get three pieces of data during an 8-hour shift. Now, compare that to what we were getting once a month. That's our goal. If we don't attain that goal, because by far a large majority of the time, these predicates, these formulas that I talked about, if they don't come true, we don't take data. It's that garbage in, garbage out type thing. So if we don't accomplish that information, that acquisition during that shift, we'll actually stage test. And we work with different minds to say, okay, when can we get this stage testing done? Typically, it's when they have an operator shift change. And they'll go through a standard set of hoist up and down until we get data complete. And the operator can actually press a button, start the acquisition for the individual systems. During normal operation, we're taking data on all these systems simultaneously. But this can actually lead to a little cleaner data, but it's not required to get this done. So we'll do the hoist, the crowd, and the swing separately. Now, I know one of those of you that are machinery health people out here, or vibration analysts, they're saying, oh, yeah, I've tried shovels before. They're difficult. And every time that I get out there and monitor something, what I find is repeatability is the issue. This adaptive monitoring is the key. It rejects the data so that when it is true, we only have data that we can compare one after the other. In other words, we're comparing apples to apples. So, in our initial proof of concepts, what we did is we actually took data and we tried to monitor the same resolution on the same time, and what we were doing is we were actually taking data as the dipper was coming down and latching at the bottom. We figured that was one of the most repeatable movements for the hoist and maybe even the crowd. Our conclusion was is that the data itself, the data is very repeatable, as long as we can capture it during those same conditions each time. So, what faults can be from our data acquisition? What faults are we looking for? And those items that we have found the most are the rolling element bearings, which are not cheap and they're not common. So you have to have them in stores. And the gearboxes too. It could be a whole gearbox or individual gears. Now, what this gives you, this early warning detection gives you the capability to actually schedule and get that part in. I see a fault coming, I can get that part in here. Now, this is something that we would find, and no, it doesn't have to get to this condition before we find it. This was a specific case in which we had the customer had a 28-week lead time to get this gear in. We caught this in time. They were able to get the gear in, and yeah, they didn't really trust us a whole lot, so they put an expedition on it, actually got it in place within 14 weeks, and they still had time to schedule other things to get done during this replacement, this 2 p.m. So we give you the very early warning so that you can schedule your outages properly, avoiding unplanned downtime. So one last thing that I'll talk about is the getting the data out of the pit. This is another big challenge. Now, we have to rely on what the customer's pit infrastructure is in place. So it's really the customer's choice. You can do the manual wireless backhaul. And what that is it actually will pull the data. This is really creative, but this is the most common way we actually take data, is where a truck will pull up a pickup that will have a server in the truck, laptop. And there's also a server on the shovel. I didn't mention that, but there's a database that's being created on the shovel. It'll actually link up to a wireless access point and download it into the truck. And then they can take it back to the maintenance office and analyze it. And then there's an automatic wireless backhaul. As part of that, it goes from data point, access point, and we'll get it out of the pit to the maintenance office or engineering office. This basically eliminates the truck having to go out. Now, typically, the trucks are sitting in a very safe environment. They're far enough away from the trucks and the shovels that it's not an issue. But the automatic wireless backhaul really helps that. Now, satellite upload, that is the key. And it allows for remote analysis so that you can analyze it anywhere in the world. Now, this is the way that Joy Global does it on their shovels. We actually have, this one announced at Mine Expo in 2012, in which our systems can be put on their shovels. If you're ordering a P&H shovel, you can request the system be on the shovel. And what this does is it actually communicates through their Prevail system, will upload that data via satellite back to a server in Chicago so that they can analyze this actually in Milwaukee. So it's an additional item that you can add to your Prevail monitoring. So, that's really the end of my presentation. In all cases, we want to enjoy this responsibility. Here I am in my Captain Morgan pose. And yes, that is me. Some people don't understand that it is me, and I actually do go to the mine sites at one of the dippers. So if you want more information, here's we actually write a blog within Emerson. I have an input to that blog about once every 2 to 3 months. This is a specific link that I've written. If it moves, monitor it, because we actually do more than just shovels. We do drag lines. We've got proof of concepts out there on trucks, many things. Also, more details in the Maintenance World magazine. This is actually a new article that was published. And if you have any questions at all, here's my contact information. Email is the best way to get a hold of me because I'm traveling all over the world. And at this point, does anybody have any questions?
Okay. Are you just taking snapshots of vibration on the unloaded side on the dippers that's coming down to reset the latch bar?
That's not the only time.
Okay. So you are getting loaded sides off that gear?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And there are some customers that, I didn't mention this, some customers will actually monitor motor current, and that's another, we monitor speed, loads, and others will monitor motor current, especially on drag lines. Any other questions?
You mentioned the satellite. Does the transmission also work through cellular phones?
Yes, it does. If the system is set up properly, you have a cellular modem right there on the shovel, yes, it can. Yes, it can. I don't know. We don't have one set up that way, I don't believe, but there's no reason that it can't. We have a full server on there that interfaces. It should be able to, yes.
You collect the data every shift. Is that the plan? To do the stage test?
That is what's typically done, and every mine is different.
Okay.
And that's when we walk in, that's what we recommend, and that includes operator training, and that's another challenge that we have is getting the operator trained to take that once a shift.
But do you analyze the data every time, or you have some kind of a limit?
Good question. We actually have alarm levels set up on every data point that's taken. So what's typically done during analysis is they'll do an exception report. An analyst will run an exception report to say, okay, where's my troublemakers? And then they'll focus on those. You don't have to look at every point. Because everything's running fine, don't worry about it. Good question.
Okay.
Have you had problems with sensor reliability, or have you located some, you know, really, really robust sensors?
That's a very good question. We've been through many different sensors, especially out on the crowd. We've learned that you have to put deflection plates around the sensors on the crowd itself. Makes sense. Of course, we didn't learn that till after we lost quite a few sensors. We use a typical low-cost sensor, but P&H is, when working with P&H, they've come up with a very robust sensor that the sensitivity and the response of it is excellent, and it appears to be longer and much more durable than the ones that we typically use when we do retrofits. Yes.
One last question.
Sure.
How do you differentiate the sensor problem versus the actual mission problem?
That's a good question. What we typically monitor the sensor itself, there's a bias voltage on accelerometers. And if that bias, and it's typically the ones that we use are in the 10-volt range. If it's zero, we got a problem. Cut cable, damaged accelerometer, et cetera. So we do monitor the condition of those sensors at all times.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Steve.